Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio Chicago, sponsored by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find yours. My name is Jason Venkis, and I am your host and the founder of Momentum. I'm an award-winning and published certified personal trainer and board-certified holistic health coach. You have questions about health, nutrition, and fitness, and we have the answers. Every week, we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions about fitness and health so we can answer them for you. Tune in live every week or listen archived anytime by visiting our page right here at Blog Talk Radio. And check our Facebook page for times each week. Just look for Momentum Fitness and Health. We do try to keep it consistent, but you know, sometimes life happens. Although we're kind of liking this 10:30 spot if we can figure out the best recording techniques here. But you can also help find helpful videos while you are there and at findingyourmomentum.com. We are also live streaming on our private Facebook group for members, and soon we'll be using YouTube live stream. So, what's more important, money or your kids' health? Well, you can bet that the soda and juice companies, it's always going to come down to profit. Today, I want you to learn how the business model for companies like Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola include purposefully marketing to kids. They use the hook, hook them while they're young marketing strategy. It was once used by cigarette companies. Americans consume over 150 pounds of processed added sugar every year per person. So today I'm going to tell you how much sugar is recommended for adults and for children, where it is in food, and how it's marketed to kids, and why this is such a problem. Warning, I will probably get a little excited, and I might drop a swear word here and there. So we know that sugar is found in cakes and sodas, and that it's bad for us. We know that. We may not know why, but we know that it's bad for us. But just how bad is it, and how much should we allow ourselves? Well, if you ask me, it should be as little as possible or none of processed added sugar. Now, the USDA recommends no more than 10 teaspoons a day for adults. Now, this doesn't mean that you should get 10 teaspoons a day. I have had this conversation with someone before, thinking that 10 teaspoons is the recommended amount. This is the upper limit of what is allowed. So this is limiting something that is bad for you. They're saying in moderation, it's okay, and 10 teaspoons is that upper limit. Now, labels on cans and bags don't give it to you in teaspoons, do they? Oh, heck no. They expect you to do some math. So there's approximately 4.5 grams of sugar in 1 teaspoon. So your average cola has 44 grams of sugar in it, or 9.77 teaspoons. So that one cola, and you're pretty much at your limit of this bad stuff. Now that's it. You're done after just one soda. No more sugar, no more added sugar for the entire day. And now the World Health Organization guidelines say no more than 5.5 teaspoons or 25 grams of sugar. Just over half of that is in a can of soda. So why do we not know this? It's deceptive practices in labeling, in marketing. Just one practice used by food companies to keep you in the dark about their products. Once you're hooked, they don't care. They know that you're going to be hooked and you're not going to care either. But if you do care, then you need to listen to the rest of this. So go grab something from your pantry or fridge right now that has a label on it. Go ahead. I'll wait a minute for you to go grab one. Are you back? You're going to notice that the fat, saturated fat, sodium, and fiber, carbohydrates, they all have percentage, or maybe not carbohydrates, but they all have percentages next to them. Your fat, your saturated fat, your sodium, and your fiber, right? Notice that sugar doesn't. There is no percentage for sugar. Companies don't want you to know that they are using so much sugar in your food or too much sugar in your food. You may buy less of it, and that's bad for them. Plus, of course, they want you to do the math, so by labeling in grams, but giving you recommendations in teaspoons. But now you know that 4.5 grams is equal to 1 teaspoon, so use that. Arm yourself. Track it for 3 days and see how much sugar you consume. Now, we are not talking about sugars found naturally in fruits and vegetables. That's a different kind of sugar. We are talking about added processed sugar, the white stuff. Sugar in fruits and vegetables are bound up in the fiber of the plant and take longer to digest. Processed sugar is stripped of its fiber and nutrients, and it's bleached with corrosive materials. And it's not just found in cakes and cookies and energy drinks and soda and ice cream, although those are the biggest offenders. But it's also found in pasta sauce, breads, and cereals. Yes, even the healthy cereals have a lot of sugar. Take a look at your raisin bran. Many of your fruit juices are made with extra sugar as well. If the label reads from concentrate, there are added sugars to it. And check your post-workout nutrition bars and shakes too. Loaded with sugar. I've done a comparison before in a gym with comparing different bars and how much added sugar's in them, and I've ranked them all. One of these days I need to do a video on that. And the biggest fraud of all of them are your sports drinks, because they are billed to you as being something healthy. Well, athletes use them. Well, you know, and they're pretty fit. Well, athletes are also working out 8 hours a day or working out 3 to 4 hours a day, and then they have practice. Typically, people drink a 32-ounce sports drink, like Gatorade, and it contains just as much sugar as a 16-ounce energy drink. And it's 13 teaspoons. So whether you're drinking a 32-ounce Gatorade, thinking that it's better for you and for your kids than that can of Monster Energy drink, which are made by the same company, by the way, you're getting 13 teaspoons. Yes, your kid's Gatorade has more sugar than you need as an adult for 1 1/3 days. And I'm going to get into the kids' recommendations later because it's lower. You know it's got to be lower, right? So get them off of that crap now. You don't have to do it all at once. I don't suggest doing it all at once. I suggest doing it over a period of time. So do it a little bit at a time. Start adding more water into their normal daily routine. Just get them off of those sports drinks. So you might have even heard that some states have banned soda sales in your kid's school. Because you're like, well, they're going to market the kids. They put stuff in schools, but it's illegal. Well, your soda companies also own the juice and sport drinks companies, too. Pepsi-Cola, for example, owns Gatorade, Naked Juices, Tropicana, Amp Energy Drink, No Fear Energy Drink, Rockstar Energy Drink, Sobe, and Propel. Coca-Cola owns Honest Tea, Honest Kids, Zico Coconut Water, Odwalla, Powerade, Peace Tea, Vitamin Water, Simply Orange, and Minute Maid. Now, a study which looked at thousands of public school students across 40 states found that removing soda from cafeteria and school vending machines only promoted students to buy sports drinks, sweetened fruit drinks, and other sugar-laden beverages instead. So the ban is on soda, but not on the sports drinks. Now, in states that banned only soda, students bought and consumed sugary drinks just as frequently at schools as their peers in states where there were no bans at all. Now, these bans are only in place for the insides of the school near lunchrooms and classroom. Soda and beverage machines are still allowed near stadiums, courts, and gyms. So this next excerpt that I'm about to read is from corporateresearch.org, and it's taken from Coca-Cola's rap sheet. So this is factual documentation. Coca-Cola has been long criticized for its marketing efforts aimed at children, including efforts in schools. where it negotiated contracts to place soda machines in hallways and cafeterias. Responding to that criticism, the company announced in 2001 that it would scale back but not eliminate its educational marketing in the United States. That did not end the controversy. Facing a growing threat of lawsuits and legislation, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, and Cadbury Schweppes agreed in 2006 to start removing sweetened drinks from school cafeterias and vending machines. The debate extends beyond the schools. Nutrition watchdog groups such as Center for Science and the Public Interest have long criticized Coca-Cola and other soft drinks for contributing to the general rise in obesity in the United States and causing other health problems. In 2005, the CSPI published a report that denounced these drinks as liquid candy, which is pretty much what they are, and called for taxing them with the revenues earmarked for health and fitness programs. Now, this tax idea, it caught on, and by 2009, it was being promoted at a national level by some members of Congress and even the Obama administration as a way of helping to pay for health care reform. This prompted the soft drink industry to mount a counterattack under the banner of Americans Against Food Taxes. So, there was a tax put on sodas, and then there was a counterattack of a group that's against food tax. Now, in 2015, the New York Times published a front-page story revealing that a Coca-Cola-funded nonprofit called the Global Energy Balance Network was enlisting scientists to promote the idea that more exercise rather than restricting sugar consumption was the way to combat obesity. The University of Colorado later announced it was returning a $1 million donation from Coca-Cola. Sorry, I had to smile into the camera. You can't see that if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio. But that was used to create the network. So the University of Colorado, which got a $1 million donation from Coca-Cola to promote the idea, to find for them the idea that the exercise was more important than sugar consumption, was returned to them. Following that return of money, return of donation, the group announced that it was shutting down. Now, members of the sales team are pressured by management to sell to schools. Now, this is according to one personal account that I read that I had an interaction with somebody on Facebook who said they had worked for Coca-Cola for 20 years. Now, they're using that whole get them while they're young, the old marketing campaign of the tobacco companies. So, you're getting all this pressure from management on the sales team to sell to schools. You get these kids young and they're going to consume it and they're going to get hooked. If you don't believe me about getting hooked, try it. Try me. Clear your schedule for a couple days and just stop having processed sugar tomorrow. You will have withdrawal symptoms almost like you're coming off of heroin. That's how serious a drug this sugar is. Now, Forbes magazine even did a piece on this earlier in the year. Coca-Cola has a pledge not to market to kids under the age of 12. However, the stipulation for TV advertising is that 35% of the audience of the programs they're advertising during must be under the age of 12 for that to be true. So they can't put any ads where 35% of the people watching it are kids, according to the Nielsen ratings. Now, two Christmas specials last year had about 2.8 million children on each one under the age of 12 watching. That's just according to the Nielsen ratings, so that's kind of an average or kind of a guess. They also use very kid-friendly advertising, such as the Great Happification and the Polar Bears. I, for one, know that my kid loves polar bears. She says it all the time when she sees them. Polar bears? Polar bears? Okay, so maybe that's reaching just a little bit. But there is a whole YouTube Kids Google app for kids that has numerous ads for Coca-Cola. That's direct marketing to kids. And I'm only talking about Coca-Cola. I'm not even talking about Pepsi. Pepsi paid lobbyists $750,000 in one quarter. $750,000. They ended up actually $3 billion over the year to lobby the Senate, the House, the Federal Trade Commission, the FDA, and the USDA against a few issues. But most interestingly was the marketing and advertising issues in response to the interagency working group on food marketing to children. Media companies were against it too, as this would take away sponsorship and paid advertisements. So why is this such an issue? Why is sugar being marketed to kids such an issue, right? It's keeping the economy going. Yeah, it's definitely keeping the medical model going too. The consumption of sugary beverages can raise a kid's risk for obesity, diabetes, tooth decay, heart disease, and other chronic illnesses. Just two sugary drinks a day can raise risk for diabetes by 26%. The American Heart Association recommends that kids up to age 8 consume no more than 3 to 4 teaspoons of sugar. I mean, that's less than half of what adults should get for your kids that are under the age of 8. And kids are eating tons more than that just at breakfast. In older kids, 5 to 8 teaspoons. This shit has to stop. It just has to stop. Okay? It's destroying our health. It's destroying our... It says that it's strengthening our economy, but it's not strengthening our economy. We rely on the healthcare system so much. Approximately 17% or 12.7 million of children in adolescents aged 2 to 19 years are obese. There's almost 13 million kids up to age 19 in this country that are obese. 17%, that's like almost 1 in 5% or 1 in 5 kids are obese. I'm not talking about overweight. You want to go overweight, we're going even higher. The adult obesity rate is reaching 40%. We're at 38% now. 38 are obese. That's almost one out of every, it's almost half. Like one out of every two, almost. Almost. In 2011 to 2012, 8.4% of 2 to 5 year olds, 2 to 5 year olds had obesity. Obesity, 2 to 5 year olds are obese. Why? Look at the foods that are marketed to kids. Look at your formula. I don't care if it's organic formula or soy formula or cow's milk. I don't care what the hell the formula is. Look at it. Look at it and look how much sugar, added sugar is in there. Because mother's milk is sweet, they have to add that sugar in. I understand if you can't breastfeed, I understand there are restrictions. I'm not coming down on those people. You do what you have to do. But look at how much sugar is in there. And at least search for the lowest sugar formula that's out there if you have to go that route. It's crazy. 8.4% of 2 to 5-year-olds. And then 17.7% of 6 to 11-year-olds. And 20.5% of 12 to 19-year-olds. One out of every 5 kids ages junior high to high school or high school, 12 to 19, high school and part of college, one out of every 5 are obese. Enough is enough. Educate yourself with these facts. I encourage you to find what your kid's school policy is on these things and read the labels of what your kids are drinking and what they're eating. Be involved. Know what they're eating and drinking and control what they're eating at home. Not control, but I mean suggest things that they eat at home. If they're not eating healthy at home, it's not all in the schools. It isn't. It isn't all on the schools. I don't want to throw schools under the bus, okay? But know what they're eating at home. Encourage good eating habits at home, and they're going to carry that on with them at school, okay? And they're going to carry that on into adulthood. There's probably more sugar in your kids' food than you really, really, really think or really, really know. But now you have this education. You know that 10 teaspoons for adults is the upper tolerable limit. 5 to 8 for your teenagers. And 3 to 4 for your little ones. Honestly, you shouldn't have any of it. Don't get them hooked on it now. Use this information. Use it to empower yourself. Use it to educate yourself. And if you have any other questions, you can always reach us out to us on Facebook and at findingyourmomentum.com. I'd like you to join me next week as I talk about how your bathroom habits tell you a lot about your health. How often do you poop? A little more lighthearted next week. So until next time, I hope you find your momentum.